Initially, everybody was just looking at me and was like, what is she doing here? Like, she's just like too young to do this. And just by doing things that I was supposed to do and doing them good, after a month or two, everybody shut up.
My name is Esprit Devora, host of the Women in Tech Show. The show means a lot to me. The reason why I wanted to create the Women in Tech Show is I wanted to create a positive piece of content, something where people can listen and say, if she can do it, so can I. I call it actionable empowerment. Every single episode, you'll hear the story of a fantastic woman in tech, from engineers to founders to investors to journalists to designers, all sorts of different females in tech who have thrived. I want to share their stories with you so that you can know what resources, mentors, and life situations they accessed in order to get to where they are today. Enjoy.
This episode is powered by the Swiss Entrepreneurship Program.
We are helping enhancing the startup ecosystems in 6 different countries, 4 of which are based in the Balkans. And you get to meet really amazing people here. And not just that you share your know-how, you also get to learn a lot from these people here. My name is Nina Nikolic, and I am the Manager of Entrepreneurs in Residence and Ecosystem Facilitator for the Swiss Entrepreneurship Program here in Macedonia.
Thank you so much for powering the Women in Tech podcast. Welcome back to the Women in Tech podcast, celebrating women in tech around the world. I am here in Skopje, Macedonia. It's an incredible, incredible, incredible city with a thriving tech community. I'm so excited to celebrate women in tech here. And we have a very special episode. As you know, it's thanks to the Swiss Entrepreneurship Program that we've been able to meet with these extraordinary women in the Balkan region. And I have Nina here with Swiss EP, who is going to be a guest host on today's episode. Hello, Nina.
Hi, and thank you for having me.
So Nina, go ahead, and before we get started with our amazing guest, go ahead and tell everybody a little bit about yourself and Swiss EP so they have an idea of who you are.
Cool. So I've been part of the startup ecosystem here in Macedonia and in the Balkan region for 4.5 years now as a community leader and whatnot. I've been kind of building and leading this startup ecosystem over here with really good results. So with the Swiss Entrepreneurship Program, we work and operate in 4 Balkan countries. Here in Macedonia, I'm kind of leading the whole program. I work with different partners. We're helping young entrepreneurs and especially focusing on women in tech. So here we have a really special guest, and I'm really excited for the how the whole day, which is set up full with interviews, how it all turned out.
And who is our guest today?
Our special first guest for today is Tatiana from South Central Ventures, and she will tell you what they're doing here in the Balkans.
Hello, Tatiana! Did I tell you I have energy or what?
Yeah, you did. You did. So, yeah, hi, and really great to be your guest today.
And so, Tatiana, go ahead and tell us a little bit about who you are and what you do.
Yeah, so I'm one of, actually, unfortunately, very few female investors in this region, and I guess also around the world, there aren't too many. So I'm leading the office here in Skopje, and South Central Ventures is actually a venture capital fund seeking, you know, inspiring tech entrepreneurs, seeking interesting stories around the Balkans. And we are really excited to have this number of companies that we're seeing that we can actually support with what we do.
So your fund, how large is your fund and what kind of startup do you focus on?
Yeah, so we have just over 40 million euros to invest in early stage companies. We have a small seed allocation, which is like for really, really early stage. Otherwise, we are looking for like, we're not really specializing in any particular industry or sector, but we tend to look for companies that are active in any kind of IT-related stuff, which is applied in a number of different verticals.
And how long have you been an investor?
Well, I started back in 2007 a bit, but then we actually had our first fund in Slovenia in 2008. This is the fund that we're currently divesting, and we started this second fund with South Central Ventures in 2015. We've been investing for like 3 years.
And which one of your portfolio companies should we check out? Like, which one has had remarkable success to define how South Central Ventures has made an impact?
So I would say like we haven't had like unicorns so far. Hopefully we will one day.
Yet.
But but I think like there are two companies that really stand out in my opinion here in that are partially Macedonian. So they are Macedonian UK companies, both of them. One of them is Cognizant and the other one is called InPlayer. Cognizant does like the has a tool for lead enrichment and like helps actually companies sell better mm-hmm. by you know helping them in creating leads or finding leads. And then reaching them and actually giving them the entire workflow to work with these leads. And InPlayer is actually providing like a simplified, it's providing a monetization solution for digital assets, like any kind of assets, but they specialize in videos.
I'm really interested and I want to ask Tatiana, did you ever envision that you're going to be working what you do today, like when you started your career 10, 15 years ago?
My career started 20 years ago.
Oh, really? Okay.
No. Not really. What I do today was actually just, I really like what I do, but it was really a coincidence that I actually started doing what I do now because, like, I was always very open. I never really had, like, a very, you know, fixed goals or something that I want to achieve and I want to be this and this. And so I just sort of let it go with the flow, you know, and I was a stewardess for some time when I was a student. Then I worked at the university in the research center. Then I actually, after I finished my degree, I started working in the Ministry of Economy, which was, really surprising for me, like a whole new world. And I didn't really like it. So after a while, I left. I started working for a multinational consultancy company. I did that for a few years. And I didn't like that very much either. So then I was thinking on what to do. And then there was, you know, this initiative coming up in Slovenia about, you know, creating a fund for that would help companies in very early stage. The idea itself at that point wasn't very clear on what we wanted to do. But, somehow it crystallized into, you know, what we need to do is, like, have a fund. And then we started raising a fund towards the end of 2007, just closed it just before the crisis hit in 2008. I started investing and, you know, changing the ecosystem, as you call it. Mm-hmm. So, I think this is, and this is something that I really like doing. I enjoy it a lot.
So, by far, you have to already recognize that Tatiana is from Slovenia, but operating here in Macedonia. Mm-hmm. So, when you first started working for the fund, mm-hmm. do you had any experience here in Macedonia concretely, or Albania, Kosovo, this, because Slovenia, yeah, it's part of the Balkans, but let's be clear about it, they have been part of EU before anybody, so they're the ones who are kind of...
Yeah, I mean, but Slovenia at some point was, and I was born still in Yugoslavia, so I was part of this one country, which of course had very different, like the regions within our republics in that country were really different. There were big differences among them, and but I did have some experience. Like when I said I worked for the ministry, so when I worked for the ministry, I was here quite a few times, and I was so I had some friends that worked here for the embassy and for some companies because there are quite a few Slovenian companies mm-hmm. also yes. with their offices here, or with even with their manufacturing plants or anything. So I knew some people, and then when I worked for Deloitte later on, I worked with a girl from Macedonia. She then got back to Macedonia. So I had like a personal relationship mm-hmm. with people here, but I wasn't really working much with companies, or like not much experience with companies themselves directly. But in a way, it's sort of because I had this personal ties to this part of the world, I sort of didn't find it too difficult to mm-hmm. to actually get into the scene here.
Did you grow up with technology in your house?
Interesting question. Yeah, I guess I would say yes, because my dad is electro engineer. So he was, you know, and my uncle, he's also like, he was a scientist. So he was a doctor, actually. I mean, doctor of physics and some whatever science, I don't know exactly. But like my dad used to do a lot of things, and he was sort of, you know, for those years, he was like a geek sort of thing. So, you know, when, I don't know, CD players came out, you know, we really had one really early on. And, you know, so sort of, yeah, it was part of my life. But, you know, it was very different than it is now. So
when's the, like, what was the transition from being curious about technology to becoming a professional in technology? Like, what was that in between? How did you get educated to feel secure to start to move forward in that trajectory?
So it was like quite steep learning curve, and because I was not like I went to business school, so I'm not like, I would say I don't have any formal education in any of the tech part. But what we did initially, even when we started investing, was like we tried to involve as many people that we knew had some knowledge in various areas where we were investing in, and try to get their, you know, opinion and like get their insights, learn this, from them. And
but then, this is further on, right? This is once you were already into investing. But what was that transition from school like early on in your career?
Early on, like for the very beginning, actually, then it was like sort of, I was more like getting away from technology, really, because like working for the government is not really like tech-oriented stuff. But what was a good thing then was that I worked for a minister who was really trying to support competitiveness of the companies and introduce like all these programs on the government level that were meant to support the entrepreneurship, innovation, stuff like that. So I sort of got in contact with a lot of people who were working in like the tech space, like in tech industry, even in larger companies, not startups. But even at that point, we started talking about and discussing it. So it sort of, it was quite smooth, actually. It wasn't like, some kind of jump, but it's like, I just sort of, you don't even feel it, really. It's just like in your life more and more. So, we started with this. Then even when we worked, like when I worked for this, as I said, in corporate finance, we did a lot of stuff on due diligence processes and like that. So I kind of, got
into it. So it was like, it's kind of like, and I think this is important for all the listeners to really grasp. I know it's something that my mom even told me when I was starting out, is every piece of our journey somehow supports our future dream, but we just don't know how. And sometimes, and I don't know if this has happened for you, but I know it happens for me. I remember when I was a waitress and I was really frustrated being a waitress, and I called my mom and I'm like, oh, I can't stand it. All I am is a waitress. She's like, being a waitress doesn't define you. She's like, you're an entrepreneur. This is just a part of your story. Like, this is how you're building yourself as an entrepreneur. You don't have to label you, and there's nothing wrong with being a waitress, but I wanted to be an entrepreneur, and I felt being a waitress,
a waste of time for what you want to do, or?
Well, I felt that I was being defined by something that, and I wanted something else. Mm-hmm. And so it wasn't necessarily a waste of time because I had to pay the bills, but I didn't want to, like, it would be like if I was, even if I was something random, like a chemist or whatever, like anything that wasn't an entrepreneur. I'm like, no, I don't want to be this. I want to be that. And my mom's like, no, this is only like a step in your journey to support you in being, you are that right now. Yeah. It's a process. So I think it's cool. Like in your story, you're like, I did this and then I did that and I did this. And this is how all those little pieces complement
together. Yeah,
they click.
Yeah.
And they come together. And it's like, really, I did like, even when I was a stewardess, I had to learn all the physics about like how planes actually fly. And I need to know about like how planes are made and stuff like that. So, it's a part of technology as well. So,
no, totally. I mean, even in being a waitress, I'd say one of the biggest things I'm fantastic at in my company is hospitality. What is being a waitress? It's learning hospitality. Like, we don't see it at the moment. Mm-hmm. At least I didn't.
And customer relations, mm-hmm. For sure.
100%. Like, I graduated college with a creative writing degree. I think it was the smartest business degree I could have ever gotten. Mm-hmm. Like, I never saw a creative writing degree as anything to do with business. I've been a writer my whole life. But having been an entrepreneur for a long time, reading emails, contracts, creating a creative story for every marketing campaign, mm-hmm. all of my creative writing degree has fueled my business. It's crazy.
Yeah, and it's like actually one of the things that I see are really missing in this part of the world. So it's like this ability to do some creative writing and ability to be like a storyteller to, you know, present your story, not present facts about your company. Like I think people here are really good in presenting all the facts.
Yeah.
Or even defining their goals, like quantifying them. But like making a story out of it, this is something that's quite hard for them.
Not sure if you know, but I do that. And I started doing this workshops and sessions, especially for young entrepreneurs to help them. Because people from the tech world, like it or not, they're really good at what they do. But in, when it comes to them showing or presenting or just spreading the story, they, let's be honest, they suck a bit at that part. And they usually ask for external help. So this is something that I'm trying to teach people here and to share my knowledge about storytelling, which is awesome.
It's so important. And speaking of storytelling, the story of an obstacle that you've successfully overcome. What has been an obstacle professionally you have successfully overcome and how did you overcome it? You're like the obstacle that I have to overcome every single day.
I mean, yeah, there are small things that you're dealing with every day, of course. It's... Like I felt sometimes that, you know, this will not be like one particular obstacle. It's more like a general thing because like initially when I started working for the ministry, I came there and I was like, I was 24 years old. I just got off university and I came there and I was like head of the minister's office because minister knew me from the university and she knew she can trust me. And I was good at things that I did. And you know, like initially everybody was just like, you know, looking at me and was like, what is she doing here? Like, she's just like too young to do this. And so, you know, just by doing things that I was supposed to do and doing them good, I was just like, you know, after a month or two, everybody shut up. So there were no comments coming from this one. Or then later on, even I saw, because I worked in corporate finance and this is predominantly male world as well. Yeah. So, I would be in a meeting with like 11 people and I was the only woman. And sometimes like there was a comment like, oh, not like I said something. And then the guy goes like, not only she's pretty, she's also smart. And I'm like, and he said that out aloud. And I was like, really, I thought about just, you know, just like slapping his face. Cause I was like,
wow.
So these were like comments and it's just like, you just learn to overhear them and just do what you're supposed to do. And, it, you know, it's like it's been quite easy. And I didn't have a lot of that, to be honest.
And I
but
don't
I did
think
a few.
And I think it's important to note, I don't, I mean, obviously I don't know this person, but I also I believe that it wasn't with ill intent. Like we're in a society where we only know what we know. We've been raised how we've been raised and we speak from whatever that history is. And so it's not necessarily that that person was trying to be negative. They were probably trying to compliment you.
Yeah, it was sort of this kind of thing. But it's still, it was like, it was insulting for me at that point, right? But yeah, I do think that it wasn't really meant as a, as a you know, like with ill intent really. But
it's actually it a question I was going to ask earlier, and this is a perfect kind of segue from that. I was going to say something that comes up in a lot of the talks I give. I have these wonderful men that come to the Women in Tech talks, and they ask me, how can we be more supportive of women in tech? What can we do? What would you recommend that guys can do? Because I know this Women in Tech podcast and all the other Women in Tech work I do is to be inclusive and is to bring it together. The one thing that I particularly don't like is creating segregation. I want to create inclusivity. You know what I'm trying to say?
Inclusiveness.
Yeah. So inclusivity. Yeah. So what would you recommend to all the guys listening right now? Like, how can they be, you know, wait, before I even, before you even answer, I heard the coolest thing last night. Nina, I don't know if you know this. So another, so as you guys know, I'm part of the Swiss EP program, the Swiss Entrepreneurship Program. We're called Entrepreneurs in Residence, EIRs. Another fellow EIR here named Neil. Last night he was telling me he turns down every panel that doesn't have a woman on the panel. And he's like, and a lot of my peers, male peers, have been doing this. And he's like, it's not like we're feminists, but we think it's important that women are on the panels too. And I think that that was an interesting stance. Nina, have you heard of any?
if I can say that here the situation, I mean, like in general in the world, is more or less the same. The women in leadership position, there is a lack, and especially when it comes to conferences and events, there are not many women in tech who are represented on panels or as speakers and stuff like that. Two things that I just now remember that I don't know why people try to put it as like, ah, you're a feminist, that's why you're doing this, that's why you're saying this. There was this one startup back in when I started working in the ecosystem. They were 10 guys. They're super great. What they do, the technology that they develop, it's great. But they were guys only. And I was like, guys, you need to get a girl at least for like, you need marketing or somebody like, even a tech girl. Now they have a couple of girls in their team since then. Secondly, is the conference you'll be speaking at tomorrow, All Web Conference. Last year, up until the last point, they didn't have any woman as a speaker for the event.
And I spoke there 3 years ago.
Yeah, I know. They usually have, but last year they started announcing the speakers and I don't see any woman. And I'm asking, I'm calling the organizer, Darko, because I know him. And I'm like, what are you actually doing? Why don't there's no such thing that there are no women that can fit the concept of this year's conference. And then one AER of ours that was here from UK last year, Amy, I think, I'm not sure, I don't want to be mistaken, but I think she was the only woman speaking last year. This year, I think there are two or three.
And I want you to answer this too, and then I actually have a response to this that I find really empowering. But before I share my thoughts, go ahead and what are your thoughts?
So this about having women in panels or conferences. This was one of the things.
Or know how guys can also.
Yeah,
yeah.
No, I just wanted to say that in early October I was in Berlin. We had a meeting, like a summit, called European Women in VC. So not in tech, but in VC, where we are also underrepresented. But this was one of the things that we settled on, like when we discussed on, it was predominantly women, but we had a few male guests as well. So, but this was one of the things that that was sort of recommended or mentioned as one of the potential things that you can do, actually, just not participate in panels where you don't have any women. And otherwise, I think, like, generally what I would say, just don't think women are any different than men in the sense of, you know, like, just as able to do most of the tasks that, you know, men do, most of the things that men do. Maybe we do it in a different way, but still, I mean, it's like, so what you can really do, just treat us as equal, you know, like, don't. And then there's like this interesting, we had with one of the companies we're investing in, we had a conversation about, you know, the need for diversity in the team. So it was just not just genders, so not just men and women, also like, you know, other, let's say, underrepresented groups that need to be included. And it's really good to have this in workforce so that you don't just have like, I don't know, white male that are between 25 and 35 and... So, and then we were talking about how to actually structure job ads in the way that they actually attract women as much as they do men, so that we would also always have like a sufficient number of candidates that were, let's say, in the final stage of being selected for a certain position, so that we would always also have women. And then the guy goes, like, the CEO, right? He goes, like, so... But, you know, like, we're a small team, and I need the person that I hire, I need this person to be compatible with the rest of the team. And usually, you know, when you're interviewing people, and then, you know, if it's a guy, you just say, okay, so do you want to grab a beer or something? And then, you know, you go out with them. And, like, he said, like, I don't feel comfortable saying that to a woman. And I don't have to, you know, like, it would maybe be inappropriate, or ask her out for dinner or something. That would be even more inappropriate. I said, okay, but if you invite a girl for coffee in the middle of the day, or like just for lunch or something, this is like not inappropriate, I think. I mean, I don't think it would be considered inappropriate, but this is like the kind of thing that you do. It's just like not be too focused on the fact that another person is a woman and not a man.
Yeah, but I think that's a great suggestion. I think it's about you know, letting guys know, asking a woman for coffee in the middle of the day. So you know, sometimes we just don't know what we don't know. The one thing I'd like to share that I find is really empowering, because I like us as people to take responsibility for our own opportunities. That's what, you know, this Women in Tech podcast is about. It's how I built myself as an entrepreneur. And I think that a lot of us, let's say male and female, I think a lot of us don't put ourselves out there because we don't believe that we're good enough. We don't believe that the panel wants us. We feel like, oh, I don't know who the organizer is, or, oh, it might be too late, or whatever. I really want to take a moment for everybody listening right now to ask yourself, what can I do? And put aside any thoughts of limitation, put aside any thoughts of fear, put aside any thoughts of like rejection. Who cares if you get rejected? My mom says every no is one step closer to a yes. And that includes, like, I've met entrepreneurs that have gotten rejected from, like, and I'm not exaggerating, like, at minimum 100 venture capitalists before they raise money. I mean, you've heard stories like this, right?
Yeah, of course, even for the very famous companies, like, you know, so they...
Yeah, so it's not about, oh, they'll be tell me no. Fine, if someone tells you no, go to the next one. It's about putting ourselves out there, and I think just as much as, like, conference organizers aren't finding us, it's just as much our responsibility to let people know that we exist. The other thing, I love my mom's quotes, the other one she says is half of the world is searching for the other half of the world. They just don't know how to find one another. Mm-hmm. So what if people, like, how about people right now who are really, 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 really passionate about women in tech but don't know the Women in Tech podcast exists? Either they don't listen to podcasts or they just haven't found it. It means I need to do more work so that they could find me. It's nothing personal. It's not that they don't want to listen to me. It's not that the conference organizer doesn't want you to speak. They just don't know you exist.
Like, yeah, and it's actually, I had a lot of, you know, like, people asking me, so is there anybody else you can recommend, or do you know who might be appropriate? Like, so people actually are looking for,
yeah,
you know, women to participate.
So I'd like us to, like, you know, leave this portion of the conversation with asking yourself, what can I do? How can I show up in this world so that the conference organizers, so that the investors, so that the potential co-founders, so that the potential talent know that I exist? Instead of just thinking, oh, they don't want me, or I'm not good enough, or they haven't reached out to me. It's not about someone reaching out to you. It's about you letting them who know you exist. Yeah. Yes.
And remember, if you don't ask, the answer is always going to be no.
Completely.
This is my motto.
Yeah. Complete. I love that you said that. So where can people find you online?
We are at www.sc-ventures.com. This is our webpage.
And how about you?
Myself, I'm on LinkedIn.
Email?
Email is Tatjana, so T-A-T-J-A-N-A @sc-ventures.com. I have Twitter account. I don't really use
So everybody can look you up on LinkedIn, and we'll include Tatjana in the show notes. We'll also include her portfolio companies. Two last questions I like to ask. One, have you been on a podcast before?
No.
Ah, it's your first podcast. Do you know, like, I think over, and I'm being conservative, over 95% of the women on the show have not been on a podcast before.
Yeah, so you're like a pioneer.
It's crazy. It's so exciting. Last question, what is your favorite app or tech tool or website?
I like Zoom a lot because it's really a good communication.
And what is Zoom for those that don't know?
So Zoom is actually a platform, like a tool where you can communicate. I mean, it's like you can share videos, you can share files, you can see each other, you can do conference calls.
Like the upgraded Skype.
Upgraded Skype and better version of Skype for me personally.
I'm sad to say that. I was a huge fan of Skype, but yeah.
Cool. And actually, one last bonus question. I'd like Nina to have the last question. So if you had one last question, what would you ask Tatjana?
Okay, so I would ask Tatjana about, after being 3 years here working in the Balkan region, where do you see Macedonia? Like, out of all the countries, in the terms of the tech, the startup ecosystem, the brain drain that we have?
Actually, Macedonia has a great, like, surprisingly high number, I think, of great professionals in various, even, like, I think in creative industries as well. But in tech, in particular, very good programmers, good developers, various parts, various specialization. So, but... and in terms of, like, if you compare it to other countries around in the region, I would say, for example, what we get is, like, more mature companies coming from, let's say, Croatia and Serbia, which are, one, they are larger, two, they are probably more developed countries in general, especially like Croatia compared to Macedonia. Then you see a lot of stuff happening in Bulgaria, but where I would say Macedonia is like really, I would say probably among the leading ones. It's like just this vibe and like the whole activity in the country, actually, because I think that, you know, compared to others, that there's on such a small population, actually, it's like really exciting to see all this happening and like many people showing up for events and stuff and people really wanting to do something. So I say there are a lot of great professionals there and so many great companies, just because there are certain skills and certain maybe even mindset that's still not quite there.
Which we're working on, and I see
that a lot. I mean, it's like it's changing and there are more and more people who are really like thinking about how to build a business, not just do something, you know, like creating something just because they can, but like creating businesses.
One thing so the event last night, what I thought was really cool was there were a lot of women there.
Yes, this is one of the things actually that I'm noticing.
Say what the event was last night, because I was like, what? Like, literally the event went on so long, and this was like past the point where everyone's tired, and the whole audience, I felt like a huge percentage of women, and I was really impressed. So tell about the event and just... Yeah.
So the event yesterday was, maybe Nina can explain better.
Global Entrepreneurship Week. It's a global event, but the chapter was done now in Skopje for this specific event. It was led by Startup Macedonia, supported by USAID, the Swiss EP, our program, and many other local partners here. And it was to kind of introduce corporate innovation in Macedonia, which we don't kind of have. So I was also surprised to see a lot of women, and they were all coming from the public sector, from the private sector. Yeah.
No, but actually in general, even comparing to, I would say, other countries, I do see this in Macedonia a lot. Also, like, I would say that probably the percentage of women that I see, like, in the tech community even is much higher than in most of the other countries. And I see that also, like, in the companies that we invested in, the teams are very mixed, and like because both CEOs are from UK, and they're both really satisfied with the girls they found here, and what they are doing, like they were really very good hires and managing their respective roles like a really really very good way, and I would say that probably they have much higher percentage of women in general in the team than would be the average, I'd say. So.
Awesome. Thank you so much for hanging out with the Women in Tech podcast. This has been incredible. I really appreciate you making the time. If you want to connect with more extraordinary women in tech around the world, remember you can go to womenintechvip.com. Womenintechvip.com takes you straight to the Facebook group. That's womenintechvip.com. Remember to say hello on social at Women in Tech Show, on Twitter, on Instagram, on Facebook. I will talk to you guys, see you guys, hear you guys in the next episode. Bye.
I'm Tatiana Zabosumikish. I'm coming from South Central Ventures, a VC fund investing in very, very ambitious and promising companies in the Balkans region. We're based in Skopje, Macedonia, and you're listening to Women in Tech.
It would not be possible to celebrate all these women in tech who have been extraordinary here in the Balkan region without the Swiss Entrepreneurship Program. And I'd like to welcome Nina to talk a little bit about what Swiss EP is. Thank you so much for powering the Women in Tech podcast.
We are helping enhancing the startup ecosystems in 6 different countries, 4 of which are based in the Balkans. We are working in emerging markets and supporting young entrepreneurs, but also the supporting organizations like Incubator Accelerator. We started a program called Entrepreneurs in Residence, which means that experts can come and work with our startup founders here and startup teams and supporting organizations. We cover accommodation and travel expenses, and you get to meet really amazing people here, and not just that you share your know-how, you also get to learn a lot from these people here. My name is Nina Nikolic, and I am the manager of Entrepreneurs in Residence and ecosystem facilitator for the Swiss Entrepreneurship Program here in Macedonia.
To find out more about the Swiss Entrepreneurship Program, go to entrepreneur-in-residence.net. That's entrepreneur-in-residence.net.